The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we have made it to the second half of the program. Been a busy first hour with the John Adams interview, Nicole Auerbach. We still will go to South Carolina in the final hour to get a little update. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. The Monday and Tuesday, we were just jammed in here with guest after guest previewing and then reacting to. We thought we'd spend a little more time on the calls because there is a lot going on. And let's check in with Joey, who is up next in Chattanooga. Hello, Joey.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on. Adams, it seems like everything he said, you could take the exact opposite of, and it would seem just as likely or just as valid. I mean, he seemed pretty stymie when you asked him about any of his sources. He seemed to have a lot of feelings about things, but he never had any accurate, specific things that he could come up with when you kind of push back on him. I mean, it's like he's just trying to rile all fans up. Maybe that's his job. Maybe he's just a muckraker or something. But, I mean, did it seem like to you that he had a lot of substance behind his 90% likelihood that Pruitt's going to be gone?
No. And that's really what I was interested in. And I sometimes you just can't find things out. And then sometimes you can. And I don't know. I have a lot of friends up there, and you know they're all in a state of bewilderment. One day it looks like he's gone. The next day maybe it looks like he'll survive. So I think this internal investigation is the issue. What I mean by that is that these guys are conducting the investigation, and yeah, they're sharing information. I'm not exactly sure who they're sharing it with. You would think it would be the athletic director. Maybe it's not. Maybe they're only sharing it with the chancellor's office or the general counsel's office, because it doesn't seem like anyone really knows which way the wind is blowing, other than it's blowing poorly for Jeremy Pruitt.
Well, what you say poorly, okay, he had a bad year. And obviously, I'm not defending his record. I'm a Vols fan. But he had a bad year. Other than that, there seems to be two players in question, maybe the Mims guy at Georgia and maybe one of our running backs. But Adams made no mention of those, and when you kind of said something to him about what is this specifically about, he didn't seem to really know. So, I mean, I know that just seeing it on the Internet. I mean, shouldn't he know a little bit more than that? And you know, if it's going poorly for him, he had a bad year, he's got a contract extension, you know, some of the players there that have since transferred maybe didn't suit what he hoped to do, and they didn't play up to what their caliber may have should have been. But, I mean, it's going poorly,
you
know,
Joey,
and everybody's...
Joey, let me just break in here. I think you're looking at it reasonably, but I don't think this has anything to do, in my mind, with the year. I think that has, it certainly hasn't helped, but this internal investigation is the issue. And I don't think it's about mitigating the contract. To me, just seems like there's either culpability here or there's not. And if there isn't,
right,
I don't think he's going to get fired.
Right, exactly. So if there's an investigation about a couple of players, maybe an assistant did something, maybe Pruitt did something, but if there's an investigation, there's not going to be – I mean, Adams said he was 90% sure he's going to go. I mean, that's a stupid thing for him to say if he's some kind of professional journalist, because if there's an investigation, there's not going to be any information out there, and Adams is just passing his opinion. I've seen him on there a couple times, and I don't know anything about him, and I'm no big Pruitt fan particularly. But, I mean, it just seems like he's just – riling things up with his feelings and his 90% assurances about with zero evidence or zero sources.
Well, Joey, I will tell you this, and you know, people ask your opinion. You know, somebody asked me before the investigation came out, you know, what would I do? I would not have fired Jeremy Pruitt this year, because I think at some point you do have to ride it out, good or bad, and that was the consensus, I think, of Philip Fulmer and the people that matter. And then this investigation came up, and then it's just, you know, there's a dark silence from the university, which is understandable, and the information is virtually impossible to get.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, on one level, and I feel badly for Jeremy Pruitt because, you know, he was asked to – he was given a contract. He was extended. You know, this year could have been an aberration. I thought last year he did some really good things. And this year it just came crumbling down. But that could be excused. You know, whether it's true or not that there's this cabal – up there trying to do him in to save some money. I'm not saying that that isn't a lot of money, but these universities don't care about that stuff. They pay $20 million here, $15 million here, Butch Jones giving. That is, there has to be something else going on here, and I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm not a reporter in Knoxville. I'm hosting a talk show. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We are heading next to Gary in North Carolina. Hello, Gary.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Thanks. Really enjoy your show. Before I ask my question, I got to share with you that I really enjoyed your interview a few days ago with the former SEC commissioner. I believe his name was Kramer.
Oh, yeah.
What a gentleman.
Think about this for a second. Roy Kramer is one of the greatest and most influential people in the history of college sports. This is not somebody who just retired. I mean, Roy Kramer, I'm trying to remember when he stepped down. It was...
it's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
That was a world-class interview, Paul. Good job there. Hey, I was wondering if we could do a quick change of pace here and talk about a professional football player, a former SEC player by the name of Cam Newton. My wife and I retired about 8 years ago and moved to North Carolina from California, and we've tried really, really hard to be Panther fans. It's been difficult. But I thought when he was healthy, Cam was about as good as you can get. And when he moved to New England, I thought, well, maybe get a fresh start. But boy, that last Monday night game against Buffalo, he was just horrible. Couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. So my question to you, Paul, really is what do you see as the future for Cam? Is he finished? Does he have a future? How does a guy lose his skills?
By the way, I agree with you about the Panthers. I live in North Carolina, and I've never found a team a bigger challenge to try to become a fan of a hometown, of a local team. I don't think he's finished yet, and I frankly thought he was gone. He was done last year, but he has such raw ability that I think that's why Belichick and others will take one more shot. I do think his health is the problem, and what made Cam Newton one of the greatest players I've ever seen, it wasn't his arm, it was his legs. And I'm afraid that, you know, he doesn't have much left. He may have one if he can stay healthy, but he has been unable to stay healthy the last couple of years.
Good. Well, enjoy your show. I had I'm kind of new to the show, Paul. What happens now that the football season is over? Do you get into college basketball and cover that the way you do football?
Well, Gary, this is when we have to really go to work. I always have people tell me that the off season is our best time because you don't know what's going to happen. The football season is really easy in the sense that it's all programmed. You know where you're going every day. We do get into basketball. I would say as we turn toward, by now we are usually talking a little basketball. And we will talk a lot more as we get closer to mid-February into March. And this is an interesting basketball season right now because you have Kentucky, which just got taken apart last night by Alabama. Alabama looks like they and Tennessee are the two best teams in the league. Now, they beat Tennessee on the road. Alabama has won at Knoxville and at Lexington with a second-year coach. This is unbelievable.
Wow. Well, hey, thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy it. My wife and I both watch you. We've lived all over the country. I've listened to a lot of sports talk shows, Paul, and you're really special. You're doing a good job there, and I wish you well.
Gary, thank you for saying that, and we appreciate it. I laugh about the offseason because the offseason really doesn't exist on a program like this. It's very football centric, but we will follow the story, whatever that story is. Thanks for the call. Heading to a break. Mentioned Josh Kendall in the final hour. We spent some time in Knoxville and Nicole Arabak, and that is where we are as we head to the break. Coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. Great to have you here on a Wednesday afternoon. John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. First-time caller.
Wonderful.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here, John. Thank you.
Yeah, first-time caller. I just wanted to call and make some statements, I guess you could say.
Okay.
You know, everybody's talking all the smack about the top 25. And, hey, Paul.
Yeah, John. John.
Always smack. I'm a big Gator fan, and I think in the top 25, the Gators should be number two, because if you look at the past year, we really shouldn't have lost to Texas A&M. We lost because of a fumble at the end of the game.
Okay.
We really shouldn't have lost to LSU.
Okay.
But we didn't have our best receiver.
Right.
Plus the stupid Wilson threw the shoe at the end.
Right.
And we probably shouldn't have lost Oklahoma if we'd had all our players, like our best two defensive players and our receivers.
I think you lost by 35
points. The bottom line is, we're the only team that only got beat by 6 points by Alabama. Everybody else got beat by Alabama by more than 10 points.
So, John, let's keep this going here for a second. I'm really fascinated by this logic. So because of that, all of these things that you have laid out, you're saying that Florida should be the number two team in the country right now instead of Ohio State and ahead of Notre Dame and Clemson and Texas A&M and all these other schools, right?
Yeah, because really ACC ain't nothing.
Right.
You know, they don't play nobody really. Mm-hmm. Ohio State, they really don't play hardly anybody either.
Right.
I'm sorry, these other conferences ain't that strong.
Yeah. So your team lost four games.
Yes, but we really shouldn't have lost them if you really look at it.
Okay.
If the coaches would have been a little smarter and our players would have did what they were supposed to do, like not throw the ball, not throw a shoe.
Yeah. But, John, they did all that, though, didn't they?
Huh?
So how can we just look past that?
Yeah, we did do that, but that's what I'm saying. I guarantee you, if we was to play Ohio State with our regular players, we could beat Ohio State. Come on.
What about Clemson, John?
Clemson really don't play nobody either. I'm sorry. ACC is a weak division this year.
So you're telling me that Florida would have beaten Clemson?
Yes, we would.
Mm-hmm. But you couldn't, beat A&M, LSU, Alabama, or Oklahoma.
To me, the top four in the playoffs really should have been Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M, and Florida.
You have a good day. You brought laughs. You've given me something to laugh about. Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
I guess he just wanted another SEC championship. I don't know. But anyway, all four teams should be SEC.
Hey, Mitch, it's kind of a cliche, but whatever he's smoking, I would like a puff.
I don't, because I have to get drug tested.
Okay. Well.
Speaking of the SEC, sir, speaking of you, first off, how are you doing?
Mitch, I'm doing great.
Great. I'm glad to hear it. I got my shot today.
You did? Wow.
Yeah. I got the first dose.
That is pretty cool. When do you get to? You get the next one in 3 or 4 weeks?
21 days.
Right.
17 to 21 days.
Right.
So if my arm don't turn green and fall off, I think I'll take it.
Well, that is that's the hottest ticket in the world right now, that vaccine.
Yeah, I guess. I'm a healthcare worker, so we got it. But anyway, what is going on with the El Scandalo SEC?
Oh, well, there's no scandal in the SEC. That's not you're not allowed to say that on this show, Mitch.
I know I'm not, but I have to. Tennessee, LSU, Florida, and now they're saying there's a possibility there's an investigation going on in Georgia.
Well, listen, one radio commentator said that, and even though I've been on his show.
Well, we know the other three are real.
Well, by the way, you're missing one. I'm not going to tell you, but there's another investigation going on. It's in basketball.
I'll figure it out one day.
it's in basketball.
Oh, yeah. But I'm thinking about the football. But I'm just saying, Greg Sankey is a wonderful commissioner. You think he put the crackdown on somebody.
Well, Mitch, I don't want to sound like I'm a propagandist, because I'm not. But, first of all, there is no investigation, as far as I'm aware, in Georgia. The LSU investigation, part of that is what happened at the championship game a year ago. This week, or tonight, I should say, part of that is a Title IX investigation. The Tennessee situation is an internal investigation. By the way, you also left out Florida, okay?
No, I did say Florida.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. You guys said Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen.
Show calls.
Yeah, Dan Mullen has got a show cause. But I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just simply stating that the commissioner of the SEC has a lot of influence, but I can't think of one of those situations where he would have been able to impact the outcome. All he can do is try to run the smartest and cleanest conference he can. He can't control what coaches do.
No, I agree. I was just bringing that up. Can I make two more comments about the championship?
Sure.
First off, I want to thank Ohio State for beating us. Because I guarantee you, Nick Saban would have made us total 100 points.
Yeah, no, that would have been a 35, or he would have taken no mercy on Clemson.
He wants to get revenge for a couple years ago. I guarantee Nick Saban would not have held his horses back.
Although I will tell you this, Mitch, I felt Clemson was the school Alabama was more concerned about than Ohio State when the Buckeyes lost. Or when the rankings came out, but I think Clemson would have played a good game, but it would have still been a double digit game.
No, we didn't have we don't this year. We didn't have the horses to keep up with those.
No, you didn't. Receivers.
Secondly, this is my theory about Nick Saban and retiring. I believe if he was planning on retiring this year, I believe he would have slipped some information to Sarkisian before he took that job at Texas.
You're right. I think that's
I don't think Nick has any.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting clue there, because I really do believe Sarkisian could have very possibly been named the head coach.
And I believe it, once his name came up for Texas, if Nick knew this was his last year, I believe he honestly would have told him.
Well, there are no reasons to believe that Nick Saban is retiring. None.
No, I don't believe he's going anywhere, but I'm saying I think that's concrete evidence.
Circumstantial.
But it might not be. But anyway, thank you, and thank you for all you do for all the people that get to enjoy you.
Mitch, it's a pleasure, and I hope you recover well from the shot. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Joe in Florida. Joe, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Appreciate your show, and I hope you're doing well, buddy. I got a couple of things I'll probably hang up and listen to you.
Sure.
We keep hearing about so many schools in the SEC that have financial troubles when they have received, and my figures are just ballpark, upward of $170 million from the SEC network over the years that you've been in business. And I just don't understand how the athletics department at these schools are in such financial strait. And I would like for you to help me with that one. And then the second one is I appreciate you having Commissioner Kramer, Roy Kramer, on the other day. That was a great, great interview. He was a great commissioner. And I don't think he ever tried to meddle in to what schools were trying to hire a coach. And I think he was just Mr. Football, Mr. Basketball, Mr. SEC, Mike's life, same. And you understand that. And I just wondered how you mentioned the commissioner a while ago. How does he have the jurisdiction, the right to tell colleges they can't hire so-and-so?
Joe, let me answer that first while you're on the air. I asked Commissioner Sankey that very question about 2 years ago. I was hosting a symposium that he was the featured speaker, and he said he does not tell athletic departments who they should or shouldn't hire. They may call him for counsel, and he may give his opinion, but he tries to stay out of the hiring. The reason why, and this came up in the Hugh Freeze case, when a couple of schools, including Alabama, wanted to hire him as a coordinator, it was simply pointed out that while Hugh Freeze was at Ole Miss, the school was placed on probation and prohibited from going to a bowl game for 2 years. And it was the league's opinion that it was not fair for him to work at a school that could go to a bowl game while the school that he was the head coach of during his tenure could not. And I don't think he would ever get in the way. I just think it's advise and consent, and that's as far as it goes.
Well, I appreciate that, Paul.
Yeah, and by the way, if you call the commissioner of the SEC or the ACC and ask their opinion, they give it, then you're probably wise to take it. I mean, these are collegial relationships. These aren't confrontational situations where the athletic director would call up the commissioner. I mean, these are all very good friends. They work together on many, many projects. But I think it's a little overstated to suggest that the commissioner, back to your money question, you're right. The SEC network does provide a significant amount of money every year to campuses, which they use to supplement the non-revenue sports, of which there are many. Only football and basketball, and I think baseball at a few schools, not many, but a few, produce revenue. So you have to support every other program with that television money. And the television money will continue to expand. But the reason why so many programs lost money this year is they had no gate receipts. They couldn't sell tickets. They had 8 or 10 or 15,000 people in 95,000-seat stadiums. They didn't make money off of anything that happens on Saturday. And that came at a tremendous price. They also did not get the NCAA basketball money last year last year, which is significant. We're up against a break. Your phone calls continue. Josh Kendall in the final hour. We've already talked about the Tennessee situation and the college football world with Nicole Arabak, and we are right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome all of you back. Great to have you here on a Wednesday afternoon. Rod is in Pennsylvania, and you are on the air.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I just make a few comments there. The game there, the national championship game we saw, I was looking at the stats from Devontae Smith, and his total receiving yards in the first half were more than Ohio State's. His touchdowns were more than Ohio State's, and his receiving yards in the first half were more than Ohio State's total yards for the half. I think that was just an outstanding performance by that young man and that whole team. And I just think, sometimes them stats get overlooked. But the performance we saw there in the championship game was something else.
Yeah, no, I don't think we've ever seen anything quite like that, Rod. Hey, thank you for the call. Tony is in Mississippi, and you are next up. Hey, Tony.
How the heck you doing, Mr. Paul?
I don't know if I could be doing any better. Thanks for asking.
Well, Paul, first of all, I want to say congratulations to Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide for another great national championship, and hats off and cadoodles for Ohio State for giving us a good game.
Well done.
And, Paul, if you remember, I called you Monday at 5 o'clock. And you asked me my prediction, and I said 52-24.
You sure did. I remember.
And you kind of chuckled and said, you ain't that far off. I know it was going to be more than a 3 or 7 point game. I just don't know exactly what it's going to be. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you 52-24. And that was Monday, right at 5 o'clock, because you had just went off.
No, I remember it.
And I didn't realize that.
It was amazing. I do remember that call. And. That's amazingly prescient. You should go to Vegas and start your own tout service.
Oh no, I'm not a gambler, but I have been pretty blessed, kind of getting them close there over the last 7 or 8 years. I just in the Bama football and the SEC and watch what the talent they got, the recruits and how they're playing. And one of the secrets was, putting number 17 back in the game there. I think that kind of threw them off.
It was. Well, Tony, if I could call you after the show, I've got a couple of stock tips I'd like to ask you about.
Hey, we'd both get rich, wouldn't we?
That would be nice.
You have a nice time. Thank you for allowing me the airtime.
Tony, you be well, and talk soon. Thank you very much. Colin is up next. Colin is in Texas, and you're on the air. Hey, Colin. Didn't hear Colin, so we'll try Phil, who is in Tennessee. Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, sir.
Thank you.
Go Vols.
I hear
Paul,
you.
Paul, I'd like to challenge you on something, if I may.
Of course.
The conversation at the first of the show was concerning the college football, the way it's being presented with your same teams being, seemingly on top all the time. So, I think that somebody, and you're the man to do it, needs to go ahead and just come out and lay it out on the line. If Alabama is taking advantage of the rules with bringing all them coaches down there that's getting paid by other schools. Of course, I'm a ball fan. But the point is, their coaches don't have to spend their time doing these things that these GAs are supposed to be doing. And again, they're knocking the GAs out of a job, and they're millionaires. And Charlie Strong, Butch Jones, right on down the list. All these guys need to be off in their own little world somewhere. And to me, that's the balance that you know, if you got the same amount of players each team does, then, you know, you coach them up. But when one guy's got twice as many coaches as you do on some kind of rule that they're bending, that needs to be addressed, in my opinion. And if it's not breaking the rules, then they're firing up.
Well, Phil, first of all, it's an interesting topic.
It
isn't against the rules, but you are right about one thing. This is something that Nick Saban started doing, and he perfected it. And I will say one thing, though. You know, if you go back in history, it was a complicated thing to break down film. You had to wait for the film. You had to break it down. Now with computers, you can do it so much faster. It's instantaneous. But there is no debate that if you have a wealth of knowledge in your analyst room, former head coaches, they can help you. But it's also Tennessee can do that. Georgia does it. Other schools do it. Alabama is not the only one. They started it, but they're not the only one right now.
Well, sir, can I follow up?
Sure.
To me, it should be outlawed to all schools because it's supposed to be fair for all the teams, and the teams that can't do it are at an unfair advantage. I mean, let's don't say Tennessee or whoever, say Vanderbilt or somebody. Any team that can't do it, they're at a disadvantage. I mean, to me, it's supposed to be fair. And to me, also, that's just not fair. Even though they're not breaking any rules, I'm glad to hear that, actually. But it should still be outlawed. If I got 12 coaches, Paul, you should have 12 coaches. And that's it. And then you wouldn't have the advantage that those other guys are supplying on your side of the ball that I don't have. And therefore, it's not fair.
Well, Phil, it's an interesting topic. We'll explore that one day because I think a good conversation about it. I'd like somebody to tell me that has been in those rooms how much advantage it really is, or is it an advantage? It seems like it would be. Yeah. Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. Nick is in New York. Nick, thanks, and good afternoon. Nick,
hey, how's it going, Paul?
Hey, Nick, great to have you on.
Yes, sir. All right, how you doing, man? I just wanted to say I'm a Jets fan, and I go to the University of Alabama. And, you know, if they really hire O'Brien, I'm going to be disgusted because he's proven to be a bad coach and a bad general manager. And if you give Adam Gase, you know, this is unpopular, but if you give him the opportunity to work with 4- and 5-star recruits, you know, he's an offensive guru in that way, and he'll be able to, you know, keep that Sarkisian style of offense.
Well, right now, nobody's said anything, but there seems to be a lot of sentiment toward O'Brien. I would agree with you on Adam Gase. He worked for Saban at LSU as a graduate assistant. They know each other very well.
Yeah, he followed him down there, so I think he would be a good fit for the OC.
Yeah, I think it's always unfair to judge an assistant on what they did as a head coach. Sarkisian was not a great head coach. He was one of the greatest assistants we've ever seen. Hey, thanks for the call from New York. We must go to a break here. Still plenty of time for you to jump on board here, and we look forward to talking to you right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have you on, and let's continue with more phone calls here. Tim is up next. Hey, Tim, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just got a simple question for you. Are you a Tennessee fan? In other words, if Tennessee plays Georgia or Florida or Alabama, are you rooting for Tennessee? And I'll hang up and listen to your call. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, I am.
Thanks, Paul, for what you do.
Thank you. I am a Tennessee fan. It's where I went to school. It's my alma mater. It's where I grew up. Now, I am not to the degree that a lot of fans are because of what I do. There is a level of neutrality that comes with this job in spite of what everyone thinks. But, yeah, if I'm just sitting around watching a football game and Tennessee is in the game, I'm pulling for my alma mater. You better believe it. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with John, who is in Mobile, Alabama. Hey, John.
Hey, Big Time. How you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you for calling.
Listen, I said Big Time because you were easier to get a hold of when you were in Birmingham. So, anyway, one of the earlier callers, and then as some other callers have talked about so-called fixing the college football playoff and what's wrong with it, they keep using this word that to me is irrelevant. They keep talking about being fair. Well, to quote your cohort, Stephen A., fair is a place they judge pigs. And if somebody's outthinking somebody else, and like that last caller, the caller before, Tennessee's getting left behind, do better. I mean, it's not – you can't level the playing field. It's just – it just drives me nuts when people talk about it's not fair, it's not fair.
Yeah, and John, one more thing on that. So, we're not talking about millions of dollars here. These coaches – these analysts are making about $35,000 a year, which is still a fair salary by most standards. But they are usually coaches that are still getting paid by their prospective schools. So if Tennessee wanted to hire six analysts to match Alabama, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I mean the way Saban's got it set up, it's a rehab assignment. How many guys have gone on and gotten great jobs? Lane Kiffin. You want to start naming them? Guys that are got great jobs around the country. So, anyway, I guess Mr. Saban's built a better mousetrap.
He has built a really good one. You don't if you're a mouse, you don't want to come near Saban. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's talk to Bob, who is up next. Hey, Bob, you're on the air. I don't hear Bob anywhere. Let me try Bill. Hey, Bill, you are on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, it's funny when you're sitting here on hold, you start laughing because John echoed something I was thinking. You know, just think if Adam Gase hadn't been a graduate assistant, he'd never been head coach of the Jets. Thank God Nick wasn't using analysts down at LSU.
That's a good point.
But what I wanted to ask you, which was interesting, somebody brought up earlier, you wrote an article when Coach Saban got there, and I know people like to make bold predictions, so, you know, because we always remember those. Do you remember how many championships? Because I chuckled when you said it, and I think Nick's a great coach. I thought it was a great hire. You predicted this outstanding number. I don't think it was six, but for some reason it might have been, and I just chuckled when you said it.
You know, Bill, I must tell you, I don't remember the article, but I more remember the day because I've seen it replayed before, but I can maybe I may go back and check that. I was extremely bullish on Nick Saban. That would be an understatement.
And yeah,
that,
you were.
And that helped to create this mythology out there that I'm his personal propagandist. I've lost that job, by the way. There are too many other people ahead of me.
Well, no, I think you're still in there. another couple of quick things to follow up that people didn't get to appreciate. Jim from Crestwood. What a great caller that people didn't get to appreciate.
Bill,
and I always pictured him down in his basement.
You know, that's the most remarkable thing that he may have. The other Jim gets credit, but Jim from Crestwood may be the greatest caller in the history of the show. He certainly created. He loved nothing more than to give me a hard time. We lost him not too long ago, and he was just an epic caller. We'll take a break. Another hour to go.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.